Well, let's go back to Matthew and chapter 9 for a few minutes. Chapter 9 of Matthew. And I want to call on your imagination, particularly this evening. We want to try and picture some of the scenes in Jesus' ministry and involve ourselves in those scenes and seek to respond to Jesus as the people in the stories did. So Matthew chapter 9, and here's one of the situations of many in the Gospels where Jesus finds someone sitting down. As Jesus went on from there, it says he saw a man named Matthew. This is Levi in other Gospels. So a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. So he finds the man, Matthew, sitting. Jesus finds him sitting. Jesus finds you sitting tonight. He finds you sitting perhaps where you've sat many times. And over the years you've sat in Sunday school probably. You've sat through different services here in Kyle perhaps, in other places. And in the pews or in the seats where you've sat, you've heard about Jesus. And you've heard the stories of Jesus. If you're someone with an imagination, then in your mind's eye you have seen the scenes which have been portrayed to you out of the Gospels, perhaps even vividly. And you have imagined yourself in those stories as though you were there. And perhaps when you talk about some of the stories of the Gospel, you still have vivid images that come to mind. Jesus calming the storm, or blind Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside begging. And you're sitting, and even though you're in the pew, you are participating in those stories in a personal way. They're so vivid to you. Over the years, perhaps you've heard many different preachers and speakers describing the gospel stories. And some of them have the gift of storytelling and have depicted the gospel stories in such vivid terms that you have been transported in your mind's eye to those places and among those people that the Gospels describe through the preacher. This morning we had a couple in church in Kyle who told me they had been married by the Reverend Alec MacDonald, who is one of our Free Church ministers, just retired recently from his congregation in Edinburgh. And Alec will be up here in a couple of months' time with his band for a musical and food evening. We look forward to that very much. But Alec is someone who is great at telling the gospel stories. In fact, he has a book of the stories of the gospels told vividly. I don't know if any of you have it, but I spotted it on my bookshelf this afternoon when I was looking for something. And you can be reading and become part of the story and just think, well, what was it like to be there and hear Jesus and witness the miracles and to be part of the sights and smells and sounds of those particular situations? And to think about responding to Jesus, as the people in the stories often did. And this can take place for you where you sit right now. I was recalling a story of a girl who long ago in Gerlach I was in school with, who was converted some years ago up in Gerlach. And the story of her conversion was that she was in church and they had a guest preacher who was preaching about Bartimaeus, and Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, is the text that the preacher took. And as he described the scene, this girl, her name was Rona, felt herself to be in the story. She was sitting in the pew, but she saw Jesus passing by. and she was walking along too. But between her and Jesus there was a ditch, and the ditch separated her from Jesus. But in her mind's eye she leapt over the ditch until she was beside where Jesus was. She was with Jesus, the Jesus of the story. And as Bartimaeus did, so did she. She received Jesus. She began to follow Jesus. The gospel became clear. She was forgiven. She was free. She was at peace. Her life was changed in the pew while she sat down. Jesus of Nazareth, today, coming out of the pages of Scripture, coming by the Holy Spirit now to us where we sit. There are many sitting situations in the Gospels, and if you care to look up a word list of Bible words, you'll find plenty of times where people are sitting. Some of them are sitting just listening on the green grass with the feeding the 5,000 or whatever. Some of them are sitting in hostility. Pharisees, will come to them in a minute, listening to Jesus, watching him. And we're sitting tonight too. Maybe we've sat many times in the pews, in the seats of church, in an armchair at home. And at the same time, we've been transported through what we're reading, through the message we're listening to. And we're at the temple in Jerusalem, or we're on a hillside in Galilee. We're at a synagogue in Nazareth, and Jesus is there vividly for us. And we have the opportunity, as the people did back then, to say yes to Jesus calling us. Have we said yes to Jesus? Have we got up and begun to follow him? Let's revisit a few of those stories tonight. Let's cast our minds back, and perhaps we're visiting stories that are very familiar in our own thoughts to us, and we have to recall the impressions they made on us in the past, see them all again, and perhaps respond in a fresh way to the Lord, or perhaps they'll come with a new impact tonight. Let's start with the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000. Remember the feeding of the 5,000, how you heard the story and you followed Jesus out of the village to a remote spot to hear him teach. And when he had finished teaching, you became conscious of your hunger, but no one had anything to eat. It was late in the afternoon. The hazy sun was becoming less intense. A mild breeze was giving some relief. The sight of thousands of people gathered there on the hillside was memorable above the shimmering waters of the Sea of Galilee. The images, the challenges of Jesus' lively teaching were dancing in your mind. But there was a restlessness over the assembly as their thoughts turned to the journey home and the necessity of beginning soon before the light failed. Still, your eyes in the story kept returning to the Galilean rabbi who had focused your imagination on the kingdom of God. There seemed to be some movement around him and his disciples. The 12, some of them known to you, dispersed into the crowd. They were speaking to the people who seemed to be grouping in response. As they came nearer, you made out what they were saying. A hush came over the vast crowd. Jesus gave thanks. For what? Then excited noises from near the front. After a minute, the first of the disciples moved away with his basket and began to distribute. When all was done, you were satisfied. Blessed by a miracle, you'd had more than enough. And afterwards, you returned to your villages, to Plockton and Drumbui and Kyle. Did the images fade? You ate the bread and the fish. But what did you do with the man they call Jesus? And so to emphasize his claim on your life, Jesus repeated the miracle a few months later. Again, you were in the crowd that had followed him for a couple of days, and while sitting in your pew, you were on the hillside again, above the Sea of Galilee. It was the same time in the day, the same sights, the same smells. This time, however, it was summer, and the fragrance of wildflowers and the humming of the bees and the noises of nature, the birds, added to the sensations. Now there was an expectancy as he told you to sit down. Would he do the same again? And you with the multitude watched in wonder, silent wonder, as the miracle unfolded. And again you were fed, you were satisfied. And you knew that here was more than a man. His eyes seemed to reflect the fire of the setting sun and penetrate into your heart. You were closer to him this time, and you could study him as he ate with the disciples around him, laughing at the capers of the children, relaxed, a picture of humanity, yet always hinting at a hidden power. And then he rose and began to send the crowd home. Were you able to just get up and go? Could you just walk away from the Son of God? Or did you want to stay and become one of his disciples too? Were you happy to be the same man or the same woman next day in the co-op or on the croft? Did you want to be something else? Did you want to be what Jesus showed you you could be through him? Did you understand what he was saying to you? And how often have you sat since then on the green grass, watching the miracle unfold? How often, through sermons and stories and reading of the Bible yourself, have you been transported from the pew, from your armchair to Palestine, and then back again to the closing psalm or to the chores of the day? Have you been content just to fill your stomach for a few hours on the food provided by Jesus, or have you obeyed his call to follow him? How many synagogues have you sat in when Jesus has done the reading? How often have you been in the temple to hear him? How many times have you been in Bethany visiting the home of Lazarus and Mary and Matthew? How many times have you sat at Jesus' feet with Mary? Have you, like Mary, chosen the good part that will not be taken away? You admired Mary's devotion to Jesus, and you were drawn by her simple faith, but did you feel it yourself? Not everyone who sits when Jesus is there sits in faith or even in sympathy with him. Remember the scene which Luke recalls. Luke chapter 5, verse 17, it says, one day as he was teaching, Jesus teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. They were sitting too, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And you were there with the crowd in the house, listening to Jesus, when suddenly the gloom of the indoors was broken and sunlight blazed in through the roof. Some men had lifted up part of the roof. Dust and debris fell down upon Jesus and his disciples. Jesus didn't mind, but the owner of the house wasn't so happy. He couldn't do anything though, because he couldn't move for the crowd. And then a stretcher appeared. And to everyone's astonishment, a man was lowered down on it in front of Jesus. Perhaps you first heard that story as a child. Do you remember it? How vividly the details stood out? Maybe you read it in a Bible story book, and there was a picture going alongside the story of the men breaking in through the roof. And you were sat, perhaps cradled in your mother or father's arms as they read that story to you. Do you remember it? Do you remember the low murmur of the crowd as Jesus said to the man, not be healed, but rather your sins are forgiven? What a strange and striking thing for Jesus to say. Maybe you've heard that story many times. You've sat among the crowd in that house. But in what posture did you sit? The Pharisees sat. The rest of the crowd sat. The Pharisees sat in judgment. They didn't see what the miracle of healing meant. All they could see was that a man was doing something which only God was able to do, forgiving sins. And they couldn't see past their prejudices, their judgments of what was right and wrong. They didn't listen to the insistent voice of the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of their hearts, because their hearts were hard. They sat in judgment. Have you sat in judgment on the sermon, on the preacher, on the truth, on the Saviour? You have witnessed the same events which melted other people's hearts, but your heart remained stubborn. Perhaps you still sit in judgment. Perhaps you have yet to yield your life to Jesus Christ and allow his words to judge your life, because on the last day you will not judge Jesus. He will judge you. As you sit and as you imagine these scenes, do you think that they are just scenes that you can leave, walk away from, as though they have no relevance for you, no meaning for your life? They are scenes that are meant to call you to follow the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, yourself. Let's think of some others who sit before Jesus. The money changers in the temple. But their minds are not on Jesus at all. Let's go down to the temple then and imagine them. Do you see them there? The temple in Jerusalem. What a vast edifice it is. The noise and the dust of the worshippers. The smell of sacrifice. The continual coming and going. The bleating of animals and the hubbub of wheeling and dealing as we enter the court of the Gentiles, where those who sold animals had set up shop. And there were the money changers who exchanged the foreign money for the special Jewish coinage, which alone was lawful for payment of the temple tax. There they were, all doing business. But you're drawn to another figure in the story, the one around whom the story truly turns, the one of whom we read John 2 verse 13, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts he found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. Now see him in your mind's eye. Watch him as he drives the animals and their sellers from the temple and casts the money changers' tables to the ground. Where are you sitting? Are you one of those money changers? Sitting in the midst of the temple where the worship of God should be conducted and where there should be prayer for the people of all nations. But you're sitting with your heart full of worldliness, thinking about how to make money, thinking about how to make money from the worshippers, in their case. Sad men who sit in the temple of God, in the presence of the Son of God, but all that doesn't move them because their eye is on money and on their world again. There's a challenge. How often, when you've been sitting in the pew, hearing the preaching of the word, has your mind wandered with the money changers from the vivid scenes of the Gospels out to the world, to Monday, to the business of the week, while others sitting beside you are soaked in the glory of Jesus, you on the fading glory of this world? You sit, as we sang in the psalm, in the seat of sinners. But there's hope. And we close with one final story from the Gospels. It's a story of Matthew in chapter 9 of his Gospel. He tells it himself. Again, you're sitting in the pew, but you're in Matthew's tax collector's booth. Well, I don't know too much about your past. If it's like Matthew's, perhaps it's a bit sad. Perhaps with Jesus there before you, your very wealth is galling. Your hard-earned comforts taunt you, because a voice is calling you. It's the voice of Jesus. Follow me, he says. Follow me. Tonight, he's coming and he's saying that to you. Follow me. And as he says that, as you sit at your tax collector's booth, first of all, scenes of the past roll through your memory. Scenes of being on the hillsides in Galilee, being in that well-kept home in Bethany. All the opportunities that you've had over your life to come to Jesus and to follow him. And he's here again, another time. And you sit in your tax collector's booth, counting your money, assessing for yourself whether what Jesus offers is worth more than what you have already and what you will have to give up. You feel the pull of two opposing worlds tonight in Galilee. Jesus is saying to you, follow me. You get up. Slowly but inexorably, you get up. You turn your back on the booth, on all your calculations of what your money is worth and what your money will buy and what the future will be because of your money. Because now a figure is calling you, who only promises you himself and what will come with that. And you are not the one to make the calculations anymore. You just need to follow him. Without a backward glance, you walk away from your tax collector's booth, eyes intent on the figure who goes ahead of you, Jesus Christ, with a sure step denoting the eternal purpose in which he wants you to share. Behind you, greedy hands are already clearing your stall. You very recently understood their greed, their priorities, but you no longer want what they want. You're following Jesus. Reaching a rise in the road, Jesus stops and he turns to you. He speaks your name. And in his face, you read eternal love. You're Matthew, and you'll be glad to have Jesus come home with you and share your home, your hospitality, the meal tonight. And so you walk on together. And slowly the Galilean scene begins to recede, to fade. And 20 centuries of Christian history roll by. And it's tonight. It's here and now. The picture in your mind is gone. The message is over. It is time to go home. But although the picture is gone, Jesus has not gone. He's the same yesterday in Galilee, today in Plockton, and forever. So you and me, let's follow him now. Let's rise up from our seats tonight and let's go out to a new life with him leading. He will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. Amen.